Hi, I'm Joan London. If you're worried about your parent or loved one living alone, like I was, and you want reliable senior care information, then call A Place for Mom, the nation's largest senior living referral service.
Finding an apartment that was on the courtyard with the view of the trees, the view of the ducks, the stream, the creek, all of that, that was what I needed.
You'll get free information on assisted living, Alzheimer's care, nursing homes, even important financial information. Here's the number.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 800-806-3752. That's 800-806-3752.
A Place for Mom is a free service, and you can trust them to help you. So if you're struggling to find reliable senior living information, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 800-806-3752. That's 800-806-3752.
Into Tomorrow continues in our 25th year on the air, covering the latest in consumer tech. Delighted to help solve your digital dilemmas. Let us know anytime at your convenience, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, if you have a question about consumer tech, anything at all, and let us address those concerns for you. And, of course, keep listening. Stay tuned, because listeners helping listeners, some of our most favorite calls as well. We get to experience what others have experienced of a similar nature, and that gives you even more input. So call us anytime. The best way, of course, is the audio option on the free Into Tomorrow app. Be sure and snag that for your favorite mobile device from your favorite app store. And then just hit the button that says Message the Studio. Or it still works the old-fashioned way, toll-free from anywhere in North America. You can pick up any phone and call 800-899-INTO, 800-899-4686. Again, anytime, at your convenience. Our next guest is with a leading cybersecurity consultancy that provides managed detection and response services. We'll find out what that all means, too. Vice President of Professional Services with Critical Start is Sanjay Parikh. Sanjay, welcome into Tomorrow. How are you?
Doing very well. Thank you, Dave.
It's a pleasure to have you with us. Tell me a little bit more. In the introduction, we talked about managed detection and response services. What does that mean, actually?
So basically, we look at all the different types of alerts that we manage. So we manage a lot of different assets for different companies, and we look at all the alerts that come through for those assets, and we make sure that we resolve or look at every alert that comes through. A lot of different solutions out there filter out alerts, and they don't really look at everything. But we make the effort to look at everything to make sure that the security is tightened as much as possible.
Okay, well, it makes sense. And when you say everything, I'm assuming you're also talking about this IoT world, this Internet of Things. We've said since the beginning kind of a goofy name, but it really describes what we're talking about, because more and more devices are being connected to the Internet, whether it's from our home or business or even our cars, among other things. And therefore, there are so many other cybersecurity issues that might be presented, no?
Oh, absolutely. IoT is basically bringing all its IT good and bad to the different technology. We've been kind of fascinated since, or at least I have been fascinated with it since about 1997, when Bill Gates kind of made his first smart home, and we looked at the different possibilities that we could have in the world. And now we're connecting everything to the Internet, whether it be for administration or just collection of data and the ability to service our customers in the best way possible.
So while the growth of IoT has been really good for most of us as consumers, and the ability to be more productive and have hopefully more security and more gadgets connected to help us, it's also led to more vulnerabilities, no doubt.
Absolutely. So the consumer market right now is about $50 billion. And it probably plans to be three times that in about another 5 years.
Wow.
So when we talk about revenue or the market, when we talk about the number of devices, that is about 25 billion devices today. And then you can imagine three times that in 2025.
It's unbelievable. We talk on the show almost every week with listeners that are having trouble with their Wi-Fi slowing down and things like that. And then we come to discover it's because we keep adding more and more things, whether it's a smart speaker or a smart TV or just any of these other IoT, the Internet of Things devices. And we worry about slowing down or sucking up our bandwidth. We better worry just as much about our security.
Absolutely. I mean, right now in the U.S., the consumer is basically doing a trade-off between convenience and their privacy or security. But the problem, there's going to be a mass adoption of IoT. We see it now, and it's just going to grow. And that's basically due to a lot of different variables. You're going to see a lot of increase in users having Internet access because right now, of course, the whole world does not have it. But in about a couple of years, you'll see about 60% of the world having Internet access. People are using their devices more, so they'll get more dependent on it. I mean, just for example, your phone, nobody puts their phone down anymore. And as we get changes in this user behavior and lifestyle, we'll see their want and need for more IoT devices. And like you said, exactly, we'll need that increase in bandwidth. We're seeing it with the 5G, and that's probably not going to, we're going to probably even want more than that real soon.
Oh, yeah, that good point, Sanjay, because it seems like no matter how fast we can be connected, we always want more. And that's not going to change, I'm assuming.
Absolutely.
And let's talk about the security concerns that, let's say, the average consumer should have. What is it that we should be concerned about, and how do we address that?
Well, I mean, I don't want to scare people, but I mean, by having all these IoT devices, people don't necessarily understand what, if hackers had access to their devices, what they could do, such as listen in on your private conversations, sit there and take your private information for whether it be from your watches. You could take your health information if they were able to hack that. Mm-hmm. They could identify patterns of whether you're home or not by looking at your thermostat, because normally people turn it up or turn it down when they're not at home. And then now we're getting into physical controls with door locks and cameras and items like that. And then one of the things that hasn't hit consumers a lot, but has hit business, is ransomware. So they shut down business, encrypt all their devices, and then they require the businesses to give them payment back to unencrypt everything. We just saw the University of California spend $1 million to pay their ransomware. Well, now the consumers are going to be a target, because as we adopt more IoT, people get dependent upon it, and then hackers can encrypt all their devices and basically say, you're going to have to replace them all or pay me for convenience.
Oh, and I'm so glad, Sanjay, that you brought up the kinds of things that we as consumers need to be concerned about, because most people, I think, are under this false impression of, I don't have anything to really be hacked, so I'm not worried about it. Well, but the things that you brought up are absolute concerns, you know, whether it be of a medical nature or you know, or just knowing whether or not you're home and somebody casing the joint, as a term that's been used for many, many years, can be casing the joint digitally as well.
Absolutely. I mean, there's a lot of reasons why all these IoT devices. A lot of it is because there are no regulations or agencies looking at IoT, so there's no standards. So basically, anybody can develop an IoT device they try to make it as secure as possible, but there's no standards to adhere to. And so a lot of them, about half of them right now, are probably vulnerable with high vulnerabilities. But we don't patch them because there's no automated patch system. So consumers just have to understand or keep looking for the latest patch to see out there, and then they'd have to implement it themselves. A new vulnerability actually just came out late 2019, early this year, called Ripple. It's labeled Ripple 20. Basically, it's how IoT devices connect to the Internet, and it has about 10 critical vulnerabilities that people need to be aware of in general that can allow hacking of your IoT devices.
And can you give us a couple of examples real quick?
Well, not really examples that are, they're very technical to your user base.
Okay.
But basically, it allows the hackers to use those vulnerabilities if they try to connect and try to access whichever device that there is.
Gotcha. Can a vehicle be hacked?
A vehicle could be hacked. I mean, the likelihood is not as much out there, so that somebody's going to be driving down and somebody just quickly hack the vehicle and make it turn off the road. So it's not going to be something like that. But it can be dependent upon the software, how it's updated, and items like that. Now, cars are getting better. They understand the different ports and protocols that they're using. But as safe and secure as these different vendors are making their products, hackers are always trying to be one step ahead.
Sanjay, I find it interesting that all this talk about hacking in your public relations firm is PRHacker.com. But as a side note, they got to us, so they were smart enough to get you on the show. I think that's terrific. But what trends have you seen or are you seeing in IoT security and hacking, for that matter? What do you think, as we head into tomorrow, we need to be very concerned about?
Well, it depends upon if you want to be about concerned or if you want to know about trends that are just happening in the marketplace. So from a concern standpoint, we want to make sure that at least somebody is trying to develop standards out there. So we, of course, want to make sure that people are aware, so educating people on the different vulnerabilities out there and what they have to watch out. There was just an article last year about the Ring camera where some people were hacking into Ring because they didn't, because users, when they set it up, just used the default password, which everybody knew.
Yeah.
And so items like that. So if consumers would sit there and just, when they install it, change default settings, that would go a long way to make them more secure. But as far as adoption and what we can look forward to as far as autonomous cars, different types of wearables, more in the healthcare with the use of artificial intelligence, the ability to monitor people, from a standpoint of their health and making sure that they're, healthy and not in trouble as far as their heart and how it's working. The ability in transportation to deal with traffic control, like I said, autonomous driving, the delivery of, either fast food or grocery shopping activities. We'll have different sensors in the public spaces dealing with understanding where people are and how they're moving so that we can have better traffic control in the public spaces and also alerting to potential crime. And you'll also see basically the world turn into, on the outside, turn into what Facebook is on the inside. So theoretically, as you're walking down an alley and they know that the person walking down, they could play an advertisement directly to what you would like. So items like that.
Wow. I like how on your website at criticalstart.com, you talk about your security infrastructure investment and is it keeping you at risk or not? So that's an important asset that one needs to look at. And criticalstart.com will get you much more info with what Sanjay and his team are up to and how they can keep your vulnerabilities to a minimum, how you can resolve every alert and stop breaches. Do check them out. Again, criticalstart.com will get you there when you visit intotomorrow.com as well. Sanjay, thank you so much for spending a few minutes with us. We've got to get you back. I can see there's so much more that we've got to talk about and continue to cover Into Tomorrow.
Thank you, Dave.
My pleasure. Again, criticalstart.com. Fascinating info. Do check it out. And I'm Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow continues right here on the Advanced Media Network.